Characters in the play. Madame Renevsky, Lubov Andreevna, the owner of the cherry orchard. Anya, her daughter, aged 17. Varya, her adopted daughter, aged 24. Gaev, Leonid Andreevich, brother of Madame Renevsky. Lopahin, Yermolai Alexeyevich, a merchant. Trofimov, Pyotr Sergeyevich, a student. Semyonov Pishchik, a landowner. Charlotta Ivanovna, a governess. Epihodov, Semyon Pantaleevich, a clerk. Dunyasha, a maid. Furs, an old valet, aged 87. Yasha, a young valet. A vagrant. The station master. A post office clerk. Visitors, servants. The action takes place on the estate of Madame Renevsky.
Act 1. A room which has always been called the nursery. One of the doors leads into Anya's room. Dawn. Sun rises during the scene. May. The cherry trees in flower, but it is cold in the garden with the frost of early morning. Windows closed. Enter Dunyasha with a candle and Lopahin with a book in his hand.
Lopahin. The train's in, thank God. What time is it?
Dunyasha. Nearly 2 o'clock.
Puts out the candle.
It's daylight already.
Oh, the train's late. 2 hours at least. Yawns and stretches. I'm a pretty one. What a fool I've been. Came here on purpose to meet them at the station. I dropped asleep. Dozed off as I sat in the chair. It's annoying. You might have waked me.
Dunyasha. I thought you had gone.
Listened.
There. I do believe they're coming.
Lopahin. Listens. No, what with the luggage and one thing and another. A pause. Lyubov Andreevna has been abroad 5 years. I don't know what she is like now. She's a splendid woman. A good-natured, kind-hearted woman. I remember when I was a lad of 15, my poor father, he used to keep a little shop here in the village in those days, gave me a punch in the face with his fist and made my nose bleed. We were in the yard here. I forget what we'd come about. He had had a drop. Lyubov Andreevna. I can see her now. She was a slim young girl then. Took me to wash my face and then brought me into this very room, into the nursery. Don't cry, little peasant, says she. It will be well in time for your wedding day. A pause. Little peasant. My father was a peasant, it's true. But here am I in a white waistcoat and brown shoes, like a pig in a bun shop. Yes, I'm a rich man. But for all my money, come to think, a peasant I was and a peasant I am. Turns over the pages of the book. I've been reading this book and I can't make head or tail of it. I fell asleep over it. A pause. Dunyasha. The dogs have been awake all night. They feel that the mistress is coming. Why, what's the matter with you, Dunyasha?
Dunyasha, my hands are all of a tremble. I feel as though I should faint.
You're a spoiled, soft creature, Dunyasha. And dressed like a lady, too, and your hair done up. That's not the thing. One must know one's place.
Enters Epihodov with a nosegay. He wears a pea jacket and highly polished, creaking top boots. He drops the nosegay as he comes in. Epihodov, picking up the nosegay. Here, the gardener sent this. Says you're to put it in the dining room. Gives Dunyasha the nosegay. And bring me some kvass.
I will.
Goes out.
It's chilly this morning. 3 degrees of frost, though the cherries are all in flower. I can't say much for our climate. I
Our climate is not often propitious to the occasion. Yermolay Alexeyevich, permit me to call your attention to the fact that I purchased myself a pair of boots the day before yesterday, and they creak, I venture to assure you, so that there's no tolerating them. What ought I to grease them with? Oh, shut up. Don't bother me. Every day some misfortune befalls me. I don't complain. I'm used to it, and I wear a smiling face. Dunyasha comes in, hands Lopahin the kvass.
I am going, stumbles against a chair, which falls over. There, as though triumphant. There, you see now, excuse the expression, an accident like that among others. It's positively remarkable. Goes out.
Dunyasha. Do you know Yermolay Alexeyevich? I must confess, Epyadov has made me a proposal.
Lopahin.
Oh. Dunyasha. I'm sure I don't know. He's a harmless fellow, but sometimes when he begins talking, there's no making anything of it. It's all very fine and expressive, only there's no understanding it. I have a sort of liking for him, too. He loves me to distraction. He's an unfortunate man. Every day there's something. They tease him about it. 22 misfortunes, they call him.
Lopahin.
Listening. There. I do believe they're coming. Dunyasha. They are coming. What's the matter with me? I'm cold all over.
Lopahin.
They really are coming. Let's go and meet them. Will she know me? It's 5 years since I saw her. Dunyasha. In a flutter. I shall drop this very minute. Ah, I shall drop.
There is a sound of two carriages driving up to the house. Lopahin and Dunyasha go out quickly. The stage is left empty. A noise is heard in the adjoining rooms. Furse, who is driven to meet Madame Renevsky, crosses the stage hurriedly, leaning on a stick. He's wearing old-fashioned livery and a high hat. He says something to himself, but not a word can be distinguished. The noise behind the scenes goes on increasing. A voice, "Come, let's go in here." Enter Lyubov Andreevna, Anya, and Charlotta Ivanonova with a pet dog on a chain, all in traveling dresses, Varya in an outdoor coat with a kerchief over her head, Gave, Semyonov Pishchik, Lopahin, Dunyasha with bag and parasol, servants with other articles. All walk across the room.
Let's come in here. Do you remember what room this is, Mama?
Lyubov, joyfully through her tears.
The nursery.
How cold it is. My hands are numb. To Lyubov Andreevna. Your rooms, the white room and the lavender one, are just the same as ever, Mama.
Lyubov. My nursery. Dear, delightful room. I used to sleep here when I was little. Cries. And here I am, like a little child.
Kisses her brother and Varya, and then her brother again.
Varya's just the same as ever, like a nun. And I knew Dunyasha.
Kisses Dunyasha.
The train was 2 hours late. What do you think of that? Is that the way to do things?
Charlotta. To Pishchik.
My dog eats nuts too.
Pishchik. Wonderingly.
Fancy that.
They all go out except Anya and Dunyasha.
We've been expecting you so long.
Takes Anya's hat and coat.
I haven't slept for 4 nights on the journey. I feel dreadfully cold. You set out in Lent. There was snow and frost. And now? My darling!
Laughs and kisses her.
I have missed you, my precious, my joy. I must tell you, I can't put it off a minute.
Wearily.
What now?
Epyadov, the clerk, made me a proposal just after Easter.
It's always the same thing with you.
Straightening her hair.
I've lost all my hairpins.
She is staggering from exhaustion. I don't know what to think, really. He does love me. He does love me so.
Anya, looking towards her door, tenderly. My own room, my windows, just as though I had never gone away. I'm home. Tomorrow morning I shall get up and run into the garden. Oh, if I could get to sleep. I haven't slept all the journey. I was so anxious and worried. Dunyasha, Pyotr Sergeyevich came the day before yesterday. Anya, joyfully. Petya! He's asleep in the bathhouse. He has settled in there. I'm afraid of being in their way, says he, glancing at her watch. I was to have waked him, but Varvara Mihalovna told me not to. Don't you wake him, says she. Enter Varya, with a bunch of keys at her waist. Dunyasha, coffee, and make haste. Mama's asking for coffee. This very minute. Goes out. Well, thank God you've come. You're home again. Petting her. My little darling has come back. My precious beauty has come back again. I have had a time of it. I can fancy. We set off in Holy Week. It was so cold then, and all the way Charlotta would talk and show off her tricks. What did you want to burden me with Charlotta for? You couldn't have traveled all alone, darling, at 17.
We got to Paris at last. It was cold there, snow. I speak French shockingly. Mama lives on the 5th floor. I went up to her, and there were a lot of French people. Ladies, an old priest with a book. The place smelt of tobacco and so comfortless. I felt sorry, oh, so sorry for Mama all at once. I put my arms round her neck and hugged her and wouldn't let her go. Mama was as kind as she could be, and she cried through her tears. Don't speak of it, don't speak of it. She had sold her villa at Mentone. She had nothing left, nothing. I hadn't a farthing left either. We only just had enough to get here. And Mama doesn't understand. When we had dinner at the stations, she always ordered the most expensive things and gave the waiters a whole ruble. Charlotta's just the same. Yasha, too, must have the same as we do. It's simply awful. You know Yasha is Mama's valet now. We brought him here with us.
Yes, I've seen the young rascal.
Well, tell me, have you paid the arrears on the mortgage? How could we get the money? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. In August, the place will be sold. My goodness.
Lopahin peeps in at the door and moos like a cow.
Moo!
Disappears.
Weeping. There. That's what I could do to him. Shakes her fist. Anya, embracing Varya, softly.
Varya, has he made you an offer?
Varya shakes her head.
Why? But he loves you. Why is it you don't come to an understanding? What are you waiting for?
Varya, I believe that there never will be anything between us. He has a lot to do. He has no time for me, and takes no notice of me. Bless the man. Makes me miserable to see him. Everyone's talking of our being married. Everyone's congratulating me. And all the while, there's really nothing in it. It's all like a dream.
In another tone.
You have a new brooch like a bee.
Mournfully. Mama bought it. Goes into her own room, and in a light-hearted, childish tone.
And you know, in Paris, I went up in a balloon. My darling's home again. My pretty is home again.
Dunyasha returns with the coffee pot and is making the coffee.
Varya, standing at the door. All day long, darling, as I go about looking after the house, I keep dreaming all the time. If only we could marry you to a rich man, then I should feel more at rest.
Then I would go off by myself on a pilgrimage to Kiev, to Moscow. And so I would spend my life going from one holy place to another. I would go on and on. What bliss. Anya, the birds are singing in the garden. What time is it? It must be nearly 3. It's time you were asleep, darling. Going into Anya's room. What bliss. Yasha enters with a rug and a traveling bag. Yasha crosses the stage mincingly.
May one come in here, pray?
Dunyasha.
I shouldn't have known you, Yasha. How you have changed abroad.
And who are you?
When you went away, I was that high.
Shows distance from floor.
Dunyasha, Fyodor's daughter.
You don't remember me.
You're a peach.
Looks round and embraces her. She shrieks and drops a saucer. Yasha goes out hastily. Varya, in the doorway, in a tone of vexation.
What now?
Dunyasha, through her tears.
I have broken a saucer.
Well, that brings good luck. Anya, coming out of her room.
We ought to prepare Mama. Petya is here.
I told them not to wake him. Anya, dreamily. It's 6 years since Father died. Then only a month later, little brother Grisha was drowned in the river. Such a pretty boy he was, only 7. It was more than Mama could bear, so she went away. Went away without looking back. Shuddering. How well I understand her. If only she knew. A pause.
And Petya Trofimov was Grisha's tutor. He may remind her.
Enter Furs. He is wearing a pea jacket and a white waistcoat. Furs goes up to the coffee pot anxiously. The mistress will be served here. Puts on white gloves. Is the coffee ready? Sternly to Dunyasha. Girl, where's the queen? Dunyasha.
Mercy on us.
Goes out quickly. Furs, fussing round the coffee pot. Ech, you good for nothing. Muttering to himself. Come back from Paris. And the old master used to go to Paris too. Horses all the way. Laughs. Varya. What is it, Furs? What is your pleasure? Gleefully.
My lady has come home. I have lived to see her again. Now I can die.
Weeps with joy.
Enter Lyubov Andreevna, Gaev, and Semyonov Pishchik. The latter is in a short-waisted full coat of fine cloth and full trousers. Gaev, as he comes in, makes a gesture with his arms and his whole body as though he were playing billiards. Lyubov.
How does it go? Let me remember. Cannon off the red.
Gaev.
That's it.
In off the white.
Why, once, sister, we used to sleep together in this very room. And now I'm 51, strange as it seems.
Lopahin. Yes, time flies. What do you say? Time, I say, flies.
What a smell of patchouli.
Anya.
I'm going to bed. Good night, Mama.
Kisses her mother.
My precious darling.
Kisses her hands.
Are you glad to be home? I can't believe it.
Good night, Uncle.
Kissing her face and hands.
God bless you. How like you are to your mother.
To his sister.
At her age, you were just the same, Luba.
Anya shakes hands with Lopahin and Pishchik, then goes out, shutting the door after her.
She's quite worn out.
Pishchik.
Aye, it's a long journey, to be sure.
Varya, to Lopahin and Pishchik.
Well, gentlemen, it's 3 o'clock, and time to say goodbye.
You're just the same as ever, Varya. Draws her to her and kisses her. I'll just drink my coffee, and then we will all go and rest.
Fierce puts a cushion under her feet.
Thanks, friend. I am so fond of coffee, I drink it day and night. Thanks, dear old man.
Kisses Fierce.
I'll just see whether all the things have been brought in.
Goes out.
Can it really be me sitting here? I want to dance about and clap my hands.
Covers her face with her hands.
And I could drop asleep in a moment. God knows I love my country. I love it tenderly. I couldn't look out of the window in the train. I kept crying so.
Through her tears.
But I must drink my coffee, though. Thank you, Fierce. Thanks, dear old man. I'm so glad to find you still alive.
The day before yesterday.
He's rather deaf.
Lopahin.
I have to set off for Kharkov directly, at 5 o'clock.
It is annoying.
I wanted to have a look at you and a little talk. You are just as splendid as ever.
Pishchik, breathing heavily.
Handsomer, indeed. Dressed in Parisian style. Completely bowled me over.
Your brother, Leonid Andreevich here, is always saying that I'm a low-born knave, that I'm a money-grubber. But I don't care one straw for that. Let him talk. Only I do want you to believe in me as you used to. I do want your wonderful, tender eyes to look at me as they used to in the old days. Merciful God, my father was a serf of your father and of your grandfather, but you did so much for me once that I've forgotten all that. I love you as though you were my kin, more than my kin.
Lyubov,
I can't sit still. I simply can't.
Jumps up and walks about in violent agitation.
This happiness is too much for me. You may laugh at me. I know I'm silly. My own bookcase.
Kisses the bookcase.
My little table.
Gaev.
Nurse died while you were away.
Lyubov sits down and drinks coffee.
Yes, the kingdom of heaven be hers. You wrote me of her death.
Gaev.
And Anastasi is dead. Squinting Petrushka has left me and is in service now with the police captain in the town.
Takes a box of caramels out of his pocket and sucks one.
Pishchik. My daughter, Dashenka, wishes to be remembered to you.
Lopahin. I want to tell you something very pleasant and cheering. Glancing at his watch. I'm going directly. There's no time to say much. Well, I can say it in a couple of words. I needn't tell you your cherry orchard is to be sold to pay your debts. The 22nd of August is the date fixed for the sale. But don't you worry, dearest lady. You may sleep in peace. There is a way of saving it. This is what I propose. I beg your attention. Your estate is not 20 miles from the town. The railway runs close by it. And if the cherry orchard and the land along the riverbank were cut up into building plots and then let on lease for summer villas, you would make an income of at least 25,000 rubles a year out of it.
That's all rot, if you'll excuse me. I don't quite understand you, Yermolai Alexeyevich.
You will get a rent of at least 25 rubles a year for a 3-acre plot from summer visitors. And if you say the word now, I'll bet you what you like there won't be one square foot of ground vacant by the autumn. All the plots will be taken up. I congratulate you. In fact, you are saved. It's a perfect situation with that deep river. Only, of course, it must be cleared. All the old buildings, for example, must be removed. This house, too, which is really good for nothing. And the old cherry orchard must be cut down.
Cut down? My dear fellow, forgive me, but you don't know what you are talking about. If there is one thing interesting, remarkable indeed, in the whole province, it's just our cherry orchard.
The only thing remarkable about the orchard is that it's a very large one. There's a crop of cherries every alternate year, and then there's nothing to be done with them. No one buys them.
This orchard is mentioned in the encyclopedia.
Glancing at his watch, if we don't decide on something and don't take some steps, on the 22nd of August, the cherry orchard and the whole estate too will be sold by auction. Make up your minds. There is no other way of saving it. I'll take my oath on that. No, no.
First, in old days, 40 or 50 years ago, they used to dry the cherries, soak them, pickle them, make jam too, and they used... Be quiet, Furse. And they used to send the preserved cherries to Moscow and to Kharkov by the wagon load. That brought the money in. And the preserved cherries in those days were soft and juicy, sweet and fragrant. They knew the way to do them then. And where is the recipe now? It's forgotten. Nobody remembers it.
Pishchik, to Lubov Andreyevna.
What's it like in Paris? Did you eat frogs there? Oh, I ate crocodiles. Fancy that now.
Lapahim, there used to be only the gentlefolks and the peasants in the country, but now there are these summer visitors. All the towns, even the small ones, are surrounded nowadays by these summer villas. And one may say for sure that in another 20 years there'll be many more of these people, and that they'll be everywhere. At present, the summer visitor only drinks tea in his veranda. But maybe he'll take to working his bit of land, too, and then your cherry orchard would become happy, rich, and prosperous.
Gaev, indignant. What rot! Enter Varya and Yasha.
There are two telegrams for you, Mama.
Takes out keys and opens an old-fashioned bookcase with a loud crack. Here they are.
Lyubov. From Paris. Tears the telegrams without reading them. I have done with Paris.
Do you know, Lyuba, how old that bookcase is? Last week I pulled out the bottom drawer and there I found the date branded on it. The bookcase was made just 100 years ago. What do you say to that? We might have celebrated its jubilee. Though it's an inanimate object, still, it is a bookcase.
Pishchik, amazed. 100 years! Fancy that now.
Yes, it is a thing, feeling the bookcase. Dear, honored bookcase, hail to thee who for more than 100 years hast served the pure ideals of good and justice. Thy silent call to fruitful labor has never flagged in those 100 years, maintaining, in tears, in the generations of man, courage and faith in a brighter future, and fostering in us ideals of good and social consciousness.
A pause.
Lapahin?
Yes.
Lyubov, you are just the same as ever, Leonid.
Gaev, a little embarrassed. Cannon off the right into the pocket.
Lopahin, looking at his watch. Well, it's time I was off.
Yasha, handing Lyubov Andreyevna medicine.
Perhaps you will take your pills now.
Pishchik. You shouldn't take medicines, my dear madam. They do no harm and no good. Give them here, honored lady.
Takes the pill box, pours the pills into the hollow of his hand, blows on them, puts them in his mouth, and drinks off some kvass.
There. Lyubov, in alarm. Why, you must be out of your mind.
Pishchik, I have taken all the pills.
Lopahin, what a glutton.
All laugh. Furse, his honor stayed with us in Easter week, ate a gallon and a half of cucumbers.
Mutters. Lyubov, what is he saying?
Varya. He has taken to muttering like that for the last 3 years. We are used to it.
Yasha.
his declining years. Charlotta Ivanovna, a very thin, lanky figure in a white dress with a lorgnette in her belt, walks across the stage. Lopakhin. I beg your pardon, Charlotta Ivanovna. I have not had time to greet you. Tries to kiss her hand. Charlotta, pulling away her hand. If I let you kiss my hand, he'll be wanting to kiss my elbow and then my shoulder. Lopakhin. I've no luck today. All laugh. Charlotta Ivanovna, show us some tricks. Luyov. Charlotta, do show us some tricks. I don't want to. I'm sleepy. Goes out. Lopakhin. In 3 weeks' time, we shall meet again. Kisses Luyov Andreevna's hand. Goodbye till then. I must go. To Gaev. Goodbye. Kisses Pishchik. Goodbye. Gives his hand to Varya, then to Fierce and Yasha. I don't want to go. To Luyov Andreevna. If you think over my plan for the villas and make up your mind, then let me know. I will lend you 50,000 rubles. Think of it seriously. Varya. Angrily. Well, do go for goodness sake. I'm going. Goes out. Gaev. Low-born knave. I beg pardon, though. Varya's going to marry him. He's Varya's fiancé. Varya. Don't talk nonsense, uncle.
Well, Varya, I shall be delighted. He's a good man. Pishchik. He is, one must acknowledge, a most worthy man. And my Dashenka says, too, that... She says various things. Snores, but at once wakes up. But all the same, honored lady, could you oblige me with a loan of 240 rubles to pay the interest on my mortgage tomorrow? Varya, dismayed. No. I really haven't any money. It will turn up. I never lose hope. I thought everything was over. I was a ruined man. And lo and behold, the railway passed through my land, and they paid me for it. And something else will turn up again. If not today, then tomorrow. Dashenka will win 200,000. She's got a lottery ticket. Well, we've finished our coffee. We can go to bed. Fierce brushes Gaev reprovingly. You have got on the wrong trousers again. What am I to do with you? Softly, Anya's asleep. Softly opens the window. Now the sun's risen. It's not a bit cold. Look, Mama, what exquisite trees. My goodness, and the air. The starlings are singing.
Gaev opens another window. The orchard is all white. You've not forgotten it, Luba? That long avenue that runs straight, straight as an arrow. How it shines on a moonlight night. You remember? You've not forgotten?
Lubyov, looking out of the window into the garden.
Oh, my childhood. My innocence. It was in this nursery I used to sleep. From here I looked out into the orchard. Happiness waked with me every morning. And in those days the orchard was just the same. Nothing has changed. Laughs with delight. All white. Oh, my orchard. After the dark, gloomy autumn and the cold winter, you are young again and full of happiness. The heavenly angels have never left you. If I could cast off the burden that weighs on my heart, if I could forget the past. And the orchard will be sold to pay our debts. It seems strange. See, our mother, walking, all in white down the avenue, laughs with delight. It is she!
Where?
Don't, Mama.
There is no one. It was my fancy. On the right there, by the path to the arbor, there is a white tree bending like a woman. Enter Trofimov, wearing a shabby student's uniform and spectacles.
What a ravishing orchard! White masses of blossom, blue sky.
Trofimov.
Lyubov Andreevna.
She looks round at him.
I will just pay my respects to you and then leave you at once.
Kisses her hand warmly.
I was told to wait until morning, but I hadn't the patience to wait any longer.
Lyubov Andreevna looks at him in perplexity. Varya, through her tears.
This is Petya Trofimov. Petya Trofimov, who was your Grisha's tutor. Can I have changed so much?
Lyubov Andreevna embraces him and weeps quietly. Gaev, in confusion.
There, there, Lyuba.
Varya, crying.
I told you, Petya, to wait till tomorrow. My Grisha. My boy. Grisha. My son. We can't help it, Mama. It is God's will.
Softly, through his tears.
There, there. Weeping quietly. My boy was lost. Drowned. Why? Oh, why, dear Petya? More quietly. Anya is asleep in there, and I'm talking loudly, making this noise. But Petya, why have you grown so ugly? Why do you look so old? A peasant woman in the train called me a mangy-looking gentleman. You were quite a boy then, a pretty little student, and now your hair's thin, and spectacles. Are you really a student still? Goes towards the door.
Trofimov, I seem likely to be a perpetual student. Lyubov kisses her brother, then Varya.
Well, go to bed. You are older too, Leonid.
Pishchik follows her.
I suppose it's time we were asleep. Ugh, my gout. I'm staying the night. Lyubov Andreevna, my dear soul, if you could, tomorrow morning, 240 rubles.
Gaev. That's always his story.
Pishchik. 240 rubles to pay the interest on my mortgage. My dear man, I have no money. I'll pay it back, my dear. A trifling sum. Oh, well, Leonid will give it you. You give him the money, Leonid.
Gaev.
Me give it him? Let him wait till he gets it. It can't be helped. Give it him. He needs it. He'll pay it back.
Lyubov Andreevna, Trofimov, Pishchik, and Furs go out. Gaev, Varya, and Yasha remain. Gaev. Sister hasn't got out of the habit of flinging away her money. To Yasha.
Get away, my good fellow. You smell of the hen house.
Yasha. With a grin. And you, Leonid Andreevich, are just the same as ever.
What's that?
To Varya.
What did he say?
Varya. To Yasha.
Your mother has come from the village. She has been sitting in the servants' room since yesterday, waiting to see you. Oh, bother her. For shame.
Yasha. What's the hurry? She might just as have come tomorrow. Goes out. Mama's just the same as ever. She hasn't changed a bit. If she had her own way, she'd give away everything.
Yes.
A pause. If a great many remedies are suggested for some disease, it means that the disease is incurable. I keep thinking and racking my brains. I have many schemes, a great many, and that really means none. If we could only come in for a legacy from somebody, or marry our Anya to a very rich man, or we might go to Yaroslavl and try our luck with our old aunt, the Countess. She's very, very rich, you know.
Weeps.
If God would help us. Don't blubber.
Aunt's very rich, but she doesn't like us. First, Sister married a lawyer instead of a nobleman. Anya appears in the doorway. And then her conduct, one can't call it virtuous. She is good and kind and nice, and I love her. But however one allows for extenuating circumstances, there's no denying that she's an immoral woman. One feels it in her slightest gesture. In a whisper, Anya's in the doorway.
What do you say? A pause. It's queer. There seems to be something wrong with my right eye. I don't see as well as I did. And on Thursday, when I was in the district court, enter Anya. Why aren't you asleep, Anya?
I can't get to sleep. My pet.
Kisses Anya's face and hands.
My child.
Weeps.
You are not my niece. You are my angel. You are everything to me. Believe me. Believe.
I believe you, Uncle. Everyone loves you and respects you.
But, Uncle dear, you must be silent. Simply be silent. What were you saying just now about my mother? About your own sister? What made you say that?
Yes. Yes. Puts his hand over his face. Really, that was awful.
My God, save me. And today I made a speech to the bookcase. So stupid. And only when I had finished I saw how stupid it was.
It's true, Uncle. You ought to keep quiet.
Don't talk, that's all. If you could keep from talking, it would make things easier for you, too.
I won't speak.
Kisses Anya's and Varya's hands.
I'll be silent.
Only this is about business. On Thursday, I was in the district court. Well, there was a large party of us there, and we began talking of one thing and another, and this and that. And do you know, I believe that it will be possible to raise a loan on an IOU to pay the arrears on the mortgage. If the Lord would help us. I'm going on Tuesday. I'll talk of it again. To Varya.
Don't blubber.
To Anya. Your mama will talk to Lopahin. Of course he won't refuse her. And as soon as you're rested, you shall go to Yaroslavl, to the Countess, your great aunt. So we shall all set to work in three directions at once, and the business is done. We shall pay off arrears. I'm convinced of it. Puts a caramel in his mouth. I swear on my honor. I swear by anything you like. The estate shan't be sold. Excitedly. By my own happiness, I swear it. Here's my hand on it. Call me the basest, vilest of men if I let it come to an auction. Upon my soul, I swear it. Anya. Her equanimity has returned. She is quite happy. How good you are, Uncle, and how clever! Embraces her uncle. I'm at peace now. Quite at peace. I'm happy. Enter Fears.
Furs, reproachfully. Leonid Andreyevich, have you no fear of God? When are you going to bed? Gaev, directly. You can go first. Yes, I will undress myself. Come, children. Bye-bye. We'll go into details tomorrow, but now go to bed. Kisses Anya and Varya. I'm a man of the 80s. They run down that period, but still I can say I have had to suffer not a little for my convictions in my life. It's not for nothing that the peasant loves me. One must know the peasant. One must know how... At it again, Uncle? Uncle dear, you'd better be quiet. Furs, angrily. Leonid Andreyevich. I'm coming. Go to bed. Potted the shot. There's a shot for you. A beauty! Goes out, Furs hobbling after him. My mind's at rest now. I don't want to go to Yaroslavl. I don't like my great aunt. But still, my mind's at rest. Thanks to Uncle. Sits down.
We must go to bed. I'm going. Something unpleasant happened while you were away. In the old servants' quarters there are only the old servants, as you know. Ifyushka, Polya, and Yevstigney, and Plarp, too.
They began letting stray people in to spend the night. I said nothing, but all at once I heard they had been spreading a report that I gave them nothing but peas pudding to eat, out of stinginess, you know. And it was all Yevstigny's doing. Very well, I said to myself. If that's how it is, I thought, wait a bit. I sent for Yevstigny. He yawns. He comes. How's this, Yevstigny? I said. You could be such a fool as to... Looking at Anya. Anichka? A pause. She's asleep. Puts her arm round Anya. Come to bed. Come along. Leads her. My darling has fallen asleep. Come. They go.
Far away beyond the orchard, a shepherd plays on a pipe. Trofimov crosses the stage and, seeing Varya and Anya, stands still.
Shh! She's asleep. Asleep. Come, my own. Anya. Softly. Half asleep. I'm so tired. Still those bells. Uncle. Dear. Mama. And uncle. Come, my own. Come along.
They go into Anya's room. Trofimov.
Tenderly. My sunshine. My spring. Curtain.
Act 2. The open country. An old shrine, long abandoned and fallen out of the perpendicular. Near it, a well. Large stones that have apparently once been tombstones, and an old garden seat. The road to Gaev's house is seen. On one side rise dark poplars, and there the cherry orchard begins. In the distance, a row of telegraph poles, and far, far away on the horizon, there is faintly outlined a great town, only visible in very fine, clear weather. It is near sunset. Charlotta, Yasha, and Dunyasha are sitting on the seat. Epihodov is standing near, playing something mournful on a guitar. All sit plunged in thought. Charlotta wears an old forage cap. She has taken a gun from her shoulder and is tightening the buckle on the strap.
Charlotta, musingly, I haven't a real passport of my own, and I don't know how old I am, and I always feel that I'm a young thing. When I was a little girl, my father and mother used to travel about to fairs and give performances, very good ones, and I used to dance salto mortali, all sorts of things. And when Papa and Mama died, a German lady took me and had me educated, and so I grew up and became a governess. But where I came from and who I am, I don't know. Who my parents were, very likely they weren't married. I don't know. Takes a cucumber out of her pocket and eats. I know nothing at all. A pause. One wants to talk and has no one to talk to. I have nobody. Epihodov plays on the guitar and sings. What care I for the noisy world? What care I for friends or foes? How agreeable it is to play on the mandolin. Dunyasha, that's a guitar, not a mandolin. Looks in a hand mirror and powders herself. To a man made with love, it's a mandolin. Sings. Oh, her heart but aglow with love's mutual flame. Yasha joins in. How shockingly these people sing. Phew! Like jackals. Dunyasha. What happiness, though, to visit foreign lanes.
Ah, yes. I rather agree with you there. Yawns, then lights a cigar. That's comprehensible. In foreign lands, everything has long since reached full complexion. That's so, of course.
I'm a cultivated man. I read remarkable books of all sorts, but I can never make out the tendency I am myself precisely inclined for, whether to live or to shoot myself, speaking precisely. But nevertheless, I always carry a revolver. Here it is. Shows revolver. I've had enough, and now I'm going. Puts on the gun. Epi Hodov, you're a very clever fellow, and a very terrible one, too. All the women must be wild about you. Brr. Goes. These clever fellows are all so stupid. There's not a creature for me to speak to. Always alone. Alone. Nobody belonging to me. And who I am, and why I'm on Earth, I don't know. Walks away slowly.
Epi Hodov, speaking precisely, not touching upon other subjects, I'm bound to admit about myself that destiny behaves mercilessly to me, as a storm to a little boat. If, let us suppose, I am mistaken, then why did I wake up this morning, to quote an example, and look round, and there on my chest was a spider of fearful magnitude, like this, shows with both hands. And then I take up a jug of kvass to quench my thirst, and in it there is something in the highest degree unseemly, of the nature of a cockroach. A pause. Have you read Buckle? A pause. I am desirous of troubling you, Dunyasha, with a couple of words. Dunyasha. Well, speak. Epi Hodov, I should be desirous to speak with you alone. Sighs. Dunyasha, embarrassed. Well, only bring me my mantle first. It's by the cupboard. It's rather damp here. Certainly, I will fetch it. Now I know what I must do with my revolver. Takes guitar and goes off playing on it. Yasha, 22 misfortunes. Between ourselves, he's a fool. Yawns.
God grant he doesn't shoot himself. A pause. I am so nervous. I'm always in a flutter. I was a little girl when I was taken into Our Lady's house, and now I have quite grown out of peasant ways, and my hands are white as a lady's. I'm such a delicate, sensitive creature. I'm afraid of everything. I'm so frightened. And if you deceive me, Yasha, I don't know what will become of my nerves.
Yasha kisses her.
You're a peach. Of course, a girl must never forget herself. What I dislike more than anything is a girl being flighty in her behavior.
Dunyasha.
I'm passionately in love with you, Yasha. You are a man of culture. You can give your opinion about anything.
A pause. Yasha. Yawns.
Yes, that's so. My opinion is this. If a girl loves anyone, that means that she has no principles.
A pause.
It's pleasant smoking a cigar in the open air.
Listens. Someone's coming this way. It's the gentlefolk. Dunyasha embraces him impulsively.
Go home, as though you had been to the river to bathe. Go by that path, or else they'll meet you and suppose I have made an appointment with you here. That I can't endure.
Dunyasha, coughing softly.
The cigar has made my head ache.
Goes off.
Yasha remains sitting near the shrine. Enter Lyubov Andreevna, Gaev, and Lopathin. You must make up your mind once for all. There's no time to lose. It's quite a simple question, you know. Will you consent to letting the land for building or not? One word in answer. Yes or no. Only one word. Who is smoking such horrible cigars here? Sits down. Now the railway line has been brought near. It's made things very convenient. Sits down. Here we have been over and lunched in town. Cannon off the white. I should like to go home and have a game.
You have plenty of time. Only one word. Beseechingly, give me an answer.
What do you say?
Looks in her purse. I had quite a lot of money here yesterday, and there's scarcely any left today. My poor Varya feeds us all on milk soup for the sake of economy. The old folks in the kitchen get nothing but peas pudding. While I waste my money in a senseless way. Drops purse, scattering gold pieces. There! They've all fallen out. Annoyed. Yasha. Allow me. I'll soon pick them up. Collects the coins.
Pray do, Yasha. And what did I go off to the town to lunch for? Your restaurant's a wretched place with its music and the tablecloth smelling of soap. Why drink so much, Leonid, and eat so much, and talk so much? Today you talked a great deal again in the restaurant, and also inappropriately, about the era of the 70s, about the decadence. And to whom? Talking to waiters about decadence.
Yes. Waving his hand. I'm incorrigible, that's evident. Irritably to Yasha.
Why is it you keep fidgeting about in front of us?
I can't help laughing when I hear your voice.
To his sister. Either I or he. Get along. Go away, Yasha. Yasha gives Lyubov Andreevna her purse. Directly. Hardly able to suppress his laughter. This minute. Goes off. Daragonov, the millionaire, means to buy your estate. They say he is coming to the sale himself. Where did you hear that? That's what they say in town. Our aunt in Yaroslavl has promised to send help, but when and how much she will send, we don't know.
How much will she send? 100,000? 200?
Well, 10 or 15,000, and we must be thankful to get that.
Forgive me, but such reckless people as you are, such queer, unbusinesslike people I never met in my life. One tells you in plain Russian your estate is going to be sold, and you seem not to understand it. What are we to do? Tell us what to do.
I do tell you every day. Every day I say the same thing. You absolutely must let the cherry orchard and the land on building leases, and do it at once, as quick as may be. The auctions close upon us. Do understand. Once make up your mind to build villas, and you can raise as much money as you like, and then you are saved. Villas and summer visitors? Forgive me saying so. It's so vulgar. There I perfectly agree with you. I shall sob, or scream, or fall into a fit. I can't stand it. You drive me mad. Tagayev, you're an old woman.
What do you say?
An old woman. Gets up to go. Lyubov, in dismay. No, don't go. Do stay, my dear friend. Perhaps we shall think of something. What is there to think of? Don't go, I entreat you. With you here, it's more cheerful anyway. A pause. I keep expecting something, as though the house were going to fall about our ears.
Gaev, in profound dejection. Potted the white. It fails. A kiss. We have been great sinners. Lapahin. You have no sins to repent of. Gaev puts a caramel in his mouth. They say I've eaten up my property in caramels. Laughs.
Oh, my sins. I've always thrown my money away recklessly like a lunatic. I married a man who made nothing but debts. My husband died of champagne. He drank dreadfully. To my misery, I loved another man.
and immediately. It was my first punishment. The blow fell upon me. Here, in the river. My boy was drowned. And I went abroad. Went away forever. Never to return. Not to see that river again. I shut my eyes and fled, distracted. And he after me. Pitilessly. Brutally. I bought a villa at Mentone, for he fell ill there, and for 3 years I had no rest, day or night. His illness wore me out, my soul was dried up. And last year, when my villa was sold to pay my debts, I went to Paris, and there he robbed me of everything, and abandoned me for another woman, and I tried to poison myself. So stupid, so shameful. And suddenly I felt a yearning for Russia, for my country, for my little girl.
Dries her tears.
Lord, Lord, be merciful. Forgive my sins. Do not chastise me more. Takes a telegram out of her pocket. I got this today from Paris. He implores forgiveness. Entreats me to return. Tears up the telegram. I fancy there is music somewhere.
Listens.
Gaev, that's our famous Jewish orchestra. You remember 4 violins, a flute, and a double bass?
Lubov,
that's still in existence? We ought to send for them one evening and give a dance.
Lupahin, listens.
I can't hear.
Hum softly.
For money, the Germans will turn a Russian into a Frenchman.
Laughs. I did see such a piece at the theater yesterday. It was funny.
Lubov.
And most likely there was nothing funny in it. You shouldn't look at plays. You should look at yourselves a little oftener. How gray your lives are. How much nonsense you talk.
Lopahin.
It's true. One may say honestly, we live a fool's life.
Pause.
My father was a peasant, an idiot. He knew nothing and taught me nothing. Only beat me when he was drunk, and always with his stick. In reality, I'm just such another blockhead and idiot. I've learnt nothing properly. I write a wretched hand. I write so that I feel ashamed before folks, like a pig.
Lubov.
You ought to get married, my dear fellow.
Yes, that's true.
You should marry our Varya. She's a good girl.
Yes.
She's a good-natured girl. She's busy all day long. And what's more, she loves you. And you have liked her for ever so long.
Well, I'm not against it. She's a good girl.
Pause.
Gaev. I've been offered a place in the bank, 6,000 rubles a year.
Did you know?
You would never do for that. You must stay as you are.
Enter Fierce with overcoat.
Put it on, sir. It's damp.
Gaev, putting it on.
You bother me, old fellow. You can't go on like this. You went away in the morning without leaving word.
Looks him over.
You look older, Fierce. What is your pleasure?
You look older, she said.
I've had a long life. They were arranging my wedding before your papa was born.
Laughs.
I was the head footman before the emancipation came. I wouldn't consent to be set free then. I stayed on with the old master.
A pause.
I remember what rejoicings they made, and didn't know themselves what they were rejoicing over.
Those were fine old times. There was flogging anyway.
Fierce, not hearing. To be sure, the peasants knew their place, and the masters knew theirs, but now they're all at 6s and 7s. There's no making it out.
Gaev,
hold your tongue, Fierce. I must go to town tomorrow.
I have been promised an introduction to a general who might let us have a loan.
Lopahin, you won't bring that off, and you won't pay your arrears. You may rest assured of that. Lyubo, that's all his nonsense. There is no such general. Enter Trofimov, Anya, and Varya. Here come our girls.
Anya, there's Mama on the seat.
Lyubov, tenderly.
Come here. Come along, my darlings.
Embraces Anya and Varya.
If you only knew how I love you both. Sit beside me. There, like that.
All sit down. Lopahin, our perpetual student is always with the young ladies. Trofimov, that's not your business. He'll soon be 50, and he's still a student. Drop your idiotic jokes.
Why are you so cross, you queer fish?
Oh, don't persist.
Allow me to ask you, what's your idea of me? I'll tell you my idea of you, Yermolai Alexeyevich. You are a rich man. You'll soon be a millionaire. Well, just as in the economy of nature, a wild beast is of use, who devours everything that comes in his way, so you too have your use. All laugh. Better tell us something about the planets, Petya. No. Let us go on with the conversation we had yesterday. What was it about? About pride.
Trofimov. We had a long conversation yesterday, but we came to no conclusion. In pride, in your sense of it, there is something mystical. Perhaps you are right from your point of view, but if one looks at it simply, without subtlety, what sort of pride can there be? What sense is there in it? If man, in his physiological formation, is very imperfect, if in the immense majority of cases he is coarse, dull-witted, profoundly unhappy, one must give up glorification of self. One should work and nothing else.
Gaev, one must die in any case.
Who knows? And what does it mean? Dying. Perhaps man has 100 senses, and only the 5 we know are lost at death, while the other 95 remain alive.
How clever you are, Petya. Lopahin, ironically. Fearfully clever.
Humanity progresses, perfecting its powers. Everything that is beyond its ken now will one day become familiar and comprehensible. Only we must work. We must with all our powers aid the seeker after truth. Here among us in Russia, the workers are few in number as yet. The vast majority of the intellectual people I know seek nothing, do nothing, are not fit as yet for work of any kind. They call themselves intellectual, but they treat their servants as inferiors, behave to the peasants as though they were animals, learn little, read nothing seriously, do practically nothing, only talk about science, and know very little about art. They are all serious people. They all have severe faces. They all talk of weighty matters and air their theories. And yet the vast majority of us, 99%, live like savages. At the least thing, fly to blows and abuse, eat piggishly, sleep in filth and stuffiness, bugs everywhere, stench and damp and moral impurity. And it's clear all our fine talk is only to divert our attention and other people's. Show me where to find the creches there's so much talk about, and the reading rooms. They only exist in novels. In real life, there are none of them.
There is nothing but filth and vulgarity, an Asiatic apathy. I fear and dislike very serious faces. I'm afraid of serious conversations. We should do better to be silent.
Lopahin. You know, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I work from morning to night, and I've money, my own and other people's, always passing through my hands, and I see what people are made of all around me. One has only to begin to do anything to see how few honest, decent people there are. Sometimes when I lie awake at night, I think, oh Lord,
Thou hast given us immense forests, boundless plains, the widest horizons. And living here, we ourselves ought really to be giants. Lyubov, you ask for giants. They are no good except in storybooks. In real life, they frighten us. Epihodov advances in the background, playing on the guitar. Lyubov, dreamily, there goes Epihodov. Anya, dreamily, there goes Epihodov. Gayev, the sun has set, my friends. Trofimov, yes. Gayev, not loudly, but as it were declaiming. O nature, divine nature, thou art bright with eternal lustre, beautiful and indifferent. Thou whom we call mother, thou dost unite within thee life and death. Thou dost give life and dost destroy. Varya, in a tone of supplication. Uncle.
Uncle, you are at it again. Trofimov, you'd much better be cannoning off the red.
I'll hold my tongue. I will. All sit plunged in thought. Perfect stillness. The only thing audible is the muttering of fears. Suddenly, there is a sound in the distance, as it were from the sky. The sound of a breaking harp string, mournfully dying away.
What is that? Lapahin. I don't know. Somewhere far away, a bucket fallen and broken in the pits. But somewhere very far away. It might be a bird of some sort, such as a heron. Or an owl. Lyubov shudders. I don't know why, but it's horrid. A pause. Fears. It was the same before the calamity. The owl hooted, and the samovar hissed all the time. Before what calamity? Before the emancipation. A pause. Come, my friends, let us be going. Evening is falling. To Anya. There are tears in your eyes. What is it, darling? Embraces her. Nothing, Mama. It's nothing. There is somebody coming. The wayfarer appears, in a shabby white forage cap and an overcoat. He is slightly drunk. Allow me to inquire. Can I get to the station this way? Yes. Go along that road.
I thank you most feelingly. The weather is superb. Declaims. My brother, my suffering brother, come out to the Volga. Whose groan do you hear? To Varya. Mademoiselle, vouchsafe a hungry Russian 30 kopecks. Varya utters a shriek of alarm. Lopahin, angrily. There's a right and a wrong way of doing everything. Lopahin, angrily. There's a right and a wrong way of doing everything. Lyubov, hurriedly. Here, take this. Looks in her purse.
I've no silver.
No matter. Here's gold for you. Oh, I thank you most feelingly. Goes off. Laughter. Varya, frightened.
I'm going home. I'm going. Oh, Mama, the servants have nothing to eat, and you gave him gold?
Lyubov. There's no doing anything with me. I'm so silly. When we get home, I'll give you all I possess.
Yemelai Alexeyevich, you will lend me some more.
Lopahin. I will. Come, friends, it's time to be going.
And Varya, we have made a match of it for you. I congratulate you.
Varya, through her tears.
Mama, that's not a joking matter.
Lopahin. Ophelia, get thee to a nunnery. Gayev. My hands are trembling. It's a long while since I had a game of billiards. Lopahin. Ophelia, nymph, in thy orisons be all my sins remembered.
Lyubov. Come, it will soon be supper time.
How he frightened me! My heart simply throbbing.
Lopahin. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen. On the 22nd of August, the cherry orchard will be sold.
Think about that. Think about it.
All go off, except Trofimov and Anya. Anya, laughing.
I'm grateful to the wayfarer. He frightened Varya, and we are left alone.
Trofimov.
Varya's afraid we shall fall in love with each other, and for days together she won't leave us. With her narrow brain, she can't grasp that we are above love. To eliminate the petty and transitory which hinders us from being free and happy, that is the aim and meaning of our life. Forward! We go forward irresistibly towards the bright star that shines yonder in the distance. Forward! Do not lag behind, friends.
Anya claps her hands.
How well you speak!
A pause.
It is divine here today.
Trofimov.
Yes, it's glorious weather.
Anya. Somehow, Petya, you've made me so that I don't love the cherry orchard as I used to. I used to love it so dearly. I used to think that there was no spot on earth like our garden.
All Russia is our garden. The earth is great and beautiful. There are many beautiful places in it.
A pause.
Think only, Anya. Your grandfather and great-grandfather and all your ancestors were slave owners, the owners of living souls. And from every cherry in the orchard, from every leaf, from every trunk, there are human creatures looking at you. Cannot you hear their voices? Oh, it is awful. Your orchard is a fearful thing. And when in the evening or at night one walks about the orchard, the old bark on the trees glimmers dimly in the dusk, and the old cherry trees seem to be dreaming of centuries gone by and tortured by fearful visions. Yes, we are at least 200 years behind. We have really gained nothing yet. We have no definite attitude to the past. We do nothing but theorize or complain of depression or drink vodka. It is clear that to begin to live in the present, we must first expiate our past. We must break with it. And we can expiate it only by suffering, by extraordinary, unceasing labor. Understand that, Anya. The house we live in has long ceased to be our own, and I shall leave it. I give you my word. If you have the house keys, fling them into the well and go away. Be free as the wind.
Anya. In ecstasy. How beautifully you said that.
Trofimov.
Believe me, Anya, believe me. I am not 30 yet. I am young. I am still a student. But I have gone through so much already.
As soon as winter comes, I am hungry, sick, careworn, poor as a beggar. And what ups and downs of fortune have I not known? And my soul was always, every minute, day and night, full of inexplicable forebodings. I have a foreboding of happiness, Anya. I see glimpses of it already.
Anya, pensively.
The moon is rising. Epitafov is heard playing still the same mournful song on the guitar. The moon rises. Somewhere near the poplars, Varya is looking for Anya and calling,
Anya, where are you?
Trofimov. That Varya again. Angrily. It's revolting. Anya.
Well, let's go down to the river. It's lovely there.
Yes, let's go. They go. Varya's voice.
Anya! Anya!
Curtain.
Act 3. A drawing room divided by an arch from a larger drawing room. A chandelier burning. The Jewish orchestra, the same that was mentioned in Act 2, is heard playing in the anteroom. It is evening. In the larger drawing room, they are dancing the grand chain.
the voice of Semyonov Pishchik. Promenade, own pair! Then enter the drawing room in couples, first Pishchik and Charlotta Ivanovna, then Trofimov and Lubov Andreevna, thirdly, Anya with the post office clerk, fourthly, Varya with the station master, and other guests. Varya is quietly weeping and wiping away her tears as she dances. In the last couple is Dunyasha. They move across the drawing room. Pishchik shouts, Grand ronde, balance! And, Les cavaliers à genoux and remerciez vos dames! Fierce, in a swallowtail coat, brings in seltzer water on a tray. Pishchik and Trofimov enter the drawing room.
Pishchik, I am a full-blooded man. I have already had two strokes. Dancing's hard work for me, but as they say, if you're in the pack, you must bark with the rest. I'm as strong, I may say, as a horse. My parent, who would have his joke, may the kingdom of heaven be his, used to say about our origin that the ancient stock of the Semyonov Pishchiks was derived from the very horse that Caligula made a member of the Senate. Sits down. But I've no money. That's where the mischief is. A hungry dog believes in nothing but meat. Snores, but at once wakes up. That's like me. I can think of nothing but money. Trofimov. There really is something horsey about your appearance. Well, a horse is a fine beast. A horse can be sold. There is the sound of billiards being played in an adjoining room. Varya appears in the arch leading to the larger drawing room. Trofimov, teasing. Madame Lopahin! Madame Lopahin! Varya, angrily. Mangy-looking gentleman! Yes, I am a mangy-looking gentleman, and I'm proud of it! Varya, pondering bitterly. Here we have hired musicians and nothing to pay them! Goes out.
To Pishchik. If the energy you have wasted during your lifetime in trying to find the money to pay your interest had gone to something else, you might in the end have turned the world upside down. Pishchik. Nietzsche, the philosopher, a very great and celebrated man of enormous intellect, says in his works that one can make forged banknotes. Why, have you read Nietzsche? What next? Dashenka told me. And now I am in such a position, I might just as well forge banknotes. The day after tomorrow I must pay 310 rubles. 130 I have procured. Feels in his pockets, in alarm. The money's gone! I have lost my money! Through his tears. Where's the money? Gleefully. Why, here it is, behind the lining. It has made me hot all over. Enter Lyubov Andreevna and Charlotta Ivanovna. Lyubov. Hums the Lizginka. Why is Leonid so long? What can he be doing in town? To Dunyasha. Offer the musicians some tea. The sale hasn't taken place, most likely. It's the wrong time to have the orchestra, and the wrong time to give a dance. Well, never mind. Sits down and hums softly. Charlotta gives Pishchik a pack of cards. Here's a pack of cards. Think of any card you like.
Pishchik, I've thought of one.
Charlotta. Shuffle the pack now. That's right. Give it here, my dear Mr. Pishchik. Ein, zwei, drei. Now look. It's in your breast pocket.
Pishchik, taking a card out of his breast pocket.
The eight of spades! Perfectly right!
Wonderingly.
Fancy that now!
Charlotta, holding pack of cards in her hands, to Trofimov.
Tell me quickly, which is the top card?
Well, the Queen of Spades.
It is.
To Pishchik.
Well, which card is uppermost?
The Ace of Hearts.
It is.
claps her hands. Pack of cards disappears.
Ah, what lovely weather it is today.
A mysterious feminine voice, which seems coming out of the floor, answers her.
Oh, yes, it's magnificent weather, madam.
Charlotta, you are my perfect ideal. Voice, and I greatly admire you too, madam. Station master, applauding.
The lady ventriloquist, bravo!
Pishchik, wonderingly.
Fancy that now! Most enchanting Charlotta Ivanovna! I'm simply in love with you.
In love? Shrugging shoulders.
What do you know of love? Gutermensch, aber schlechter Musikant.
Trofimov pats Pishchik on the shoulder.
You dear old horse.
Charlotta, attention please, another trick. Takes a traveling rug from a chair. Here's a very good rug. I want to sell it. Shaking it out. Doesn't anyone want to buy it?
Pishchik, wonderingly.
Fancy that now. Ein, zwei, drei.
Quickly picks up rug she has dropped. Behind the rug stands Anya. She makes a curtsy, runs to her mother, embraces her, and runs back into the larger drawing room amidst general enthusiasm. Lubov applauds.
Bravo! Bravo!
Now again. Ein, zwei, drei. Lifts up the rug. Behind the rug stands Varya, bowing. Pishchik, wonderingly.
Fancy that now.
That's the end. Throws the rug at Pishchik, makes a curtsy, runs into the larger drawing room. Pishchik hurries after her.
Mischievous creature. Fancy.
Goes out.
And still Leonid doesn't come. I can't understand what he's doing in the town so long. Why, everything must be over by now. The estate is sold, or the sale has not taken place. Why keep us so long in suspense?
Varya, trying to console her.
Uncle's bought it. I feel sure of that.
Trofimov, ironically.
Oh, yes.
Varya. Great aunt sent him an authorization to buy it in her name and transfer the debt. She's doing it for Anya's sake, and I'm sure God will be merciful. Uncle will buy it. My aunt in Yaroslavl sent 15,000 to buy the estate in her name. She doesn't trust us. But that's not enough even to pay the arrears. Hides her face in her hands. My fate is being sealed today. My fate! Trofimov, teasing Varya.
Madam Lopahin.
Varya, angrily. Perpetual student. Twice already you've been sent down from the university.
Why
are you angry, Varya? He's teasing you about Lopahin.
Well, what of that?
Marry Lopahin if you like. He's a good man and interesting. If you don't want to, don't. Nobody compels you, darling.
I must tell you plainly, Mama. I look at the matter seriously. He's a good man. I like him. Well, marry him. I can't see what you're waiting for.
Mama, I can't make him an offer myself. For the last 2 years, everyone's been talking to me about him. Everyone talks, but he says nothing, or else makes a joke. I see what it means. He's growing rich. He's absorbed in business. He has no thoughts for me. If I had money, were it ever so little, if I had only 100 rubles, I'd throw everything up and go far away. I would go into a nunnery.
What bliss.
To Trofimov. A student ought to have sense. In a soft tone with tears. How ugly you've grown, Petya. How old you look. To Lubov Andreevna, no longer crying.
But I can't do without work, Mama. I must have something to do every minute.
Enter Yasha. Yasha, hardly restraining his laughter.
Eberhardov has broken.
goes out. What is Epikhodov doing here? Who gave him leave to play billiards? I can't make these people out. Goes out. Don't tease her, Petya. You see, she has grief enough without that.
Trofimov, she is so very officious, meddling in what's not her business. All the summer she's given Anya and me no peace. She's afraid of a love affair between us. What's it to do with her? Besides, I have given no grounds for it. Such triviality is not in my line. We are above love.
And I suppose I am beneath love.
Very uneasily. Why is it Leonid's not here? If only I could know whether the estate is sold or not. It seems such an incredible calamity that I really don't know what to think. I'm distracted. I shall scream in a minute. I shall do something stupid. Save me, Petya. Tell me something. Talk to me.
What does it matter whether the estate is sold today or not? That's all done with long ago. There's no turning back. The path is overgrown. Don't worry yourself, dear Lyubov Andreevna. You mustn't deceive yourself. For once in your life, you must face the truth.
Lyubov, what truth? You see where the truth lies, but I seem to have lost my sight. I see nothing. You settle every great problem so boldly. But tell me, my dear boy, isn't it because you're young? Because you haven't yet understood one of your problems through suffering? You look forward boldly, and isn't it that you don't see and don't expect anything dreadful, because life is still hidden from your young eyes? You're bolder, more honest, deeper than we are. But think, be just a little magnanimous, have pity on me. I was born here, you know. My father and mother lived here. My grandfather lived here. I love this house. I can't conceive of life without the cherry orchard. And if it really must be sold, then sell me with the orchard. Embraces Trofimov, kisses him on the forehead. My boy was drowned here. Weeps. Pity me, my dear kind fellow. You know I feel for you with all my heart. But that should have been said differently, so differently.
Takes out her handkerchief. Telegram falls on the floor.
My heart is so heavy today. It's so noisy here. My soul is quivering at every sound. I'm shuddering all over. But I can't go away. I'm afraid to be quiet and alone. Don't be hard on me, Petya. I love you as though you were one of ourselves. I would gladly let you marry Anya. I swear I would. Only, my dear boy, you must take your degree. You do nothing. You're simply tossed by fate from place to place. That's so strange. It is, isn't it? And you must do something with your beard to make it grow somehow. Laughs. He looks so funny.
Trofimov picks up the telegram.
I've no wish to be a beauty.
That's a telegram from Paris. I get one every day. One yesterday and one today. That savage creature is ill again. He's in trouble again. He begs forgiveness, beseeches me to go. And really, I ought to go to Paris to see him. You look shocked, Petya. What am I to do, my dear boy? What am I to do? He is ill. He is alone and unhappy, and who look after him? Who keep him from doing the wrong thing? Who give him his medicine at the right time? And why hide it or be silent? I love him, that's clear. I love him. I love him. He's a millstone about my neck. I'm going to the bottom with him. But I love that stone and can't live without it. Presses Trofimov's hand. Don't think ill of me, Petya. Don't tell me anything. Don't tell me. Trofimov, through his tears. For God's sake, forgive my frankness. Why, he robbed you. No. You mustn't speak like that.
covers her ears. He is a wretch. You're the only person that doesn't know it. He's a worthless creature. A despicable wretch. Getting angry, but speaking with restraint. You are 26 or 27 years old, but you're still a schoolboy. Possibly.
You should be a man at your age. You should understand what love means. And you ought to be in love yourself. You ought to fall in love. Angrily.
Yes, yes, and it's not purity in you. You're simply a prude, a comic fool, a freak.
Trofimov, in horror.
The things she's saying. Lubov, I am above love. You're not above love, but simply, as our fears here says, you are a good-for-nothing. At your age, not to have a mistress?
Trofimov, in horror.
This is awful, the things she is saying!
Goes rapidly into the larger drawing room, clutching his head.
This is awful, I can't stand it! I'm going!
Goes off, but at once returns.
All is over between us!
Goes off into the anteroom. Lubov shouts after him.
Petya! Wait a minute! You funny creature, I was joking! Petya!
There was a sound of somebody running quickly downstairs and suddenly falling with a crash. Anya and Varya scream, but there was a sound of laughter at once.
What has happened?
Anya runs in. Anya, laughing.
Petya's fallen downstairs!
Runs out.
Lubov, what a queer fellow that Petya is.
The station master stands in the middle of the larger room and reads The Magdalene by Alexei Tolstoy. They listen to him, but before he has recited many lines, strains of a waltz are heard from the anteroom, and the reading is broken off. All dance. Trofimov, Anya, Varya, and Lubov Andreevna come in from the anteroom. Come, Petya, come, pure heart. I beg your pardon. Let's have a dance. Dances with Petya. Anya and Varya dance. First comes in, puts his stick down near the side door. Yasha also comes into the drawing room and looks on at the dancing. What is it, old man? I don't feel well. In old days we used to have generals, barons, and admirals dancing at our balls. And now we send for the post office clerk and the station master. And even they're not over anxious to come. I am getting feeble. The old master, the grandfather, used to give sealing wax for all complaints. I have been taking sealing wax for 20 years or more. Perhaps that's what's kept me alive. You bore me, old man. Yawns. It's time you were done with. You're a good for nothing. Mutters. Trofimov and Lubov Andreevna dance in the larger room, and then onto the stage.
Merci. I'll sit down a little. Sits down. I'm tired. Enter Anya. Anya, excitedly. There's a man in the kitchen has been saying that the cherry orchard's been sold today. Sold? To whom? Anya. He didn't say to whom. He's gone away.
She dances with Trofimov, and they go off into the larger room. Yasha. There was an old man gossiping there, a stranger. First.
Leonid Andreevich isn't here yet. He hasn't come back. He has his light overcoat on. Demi-saison. He'll catch cold for sure. Oh, foolish young things.
Lyubov.
I feel as though I should die. Go, Yasha. Find out to whom it has been sold.
But he went away long ago, the old chap.
Laughs. Lyubov, with slight vexation.
What are you laughing at? What are you pleased at?
That Bohodov is so funny. He's a silly fellow. 22 misfortunes.
First, if the estate is sold, where will you go?
Where you bid me, there I'll go.
Why do you look like that? Are you ill? You ought to be in bed.
Yes, ironically. Me go to bed. And who's to wait here? Who's to see to things without me? I'm the only one in all the house.
Yasha, to Lyubov Andreevna. Lyubov Andreevna, permit me to make a request of you. If you go back to Paris again, be so kind as to take me with you. It's positively impossible for me to stay here. Looking about him, in an undertone, there's no need to say it. You see for yourself. An uncivilized country. The people have no morals. And then the dullness. The food in the kitchen's abominable. And then Fears runs after one, muttering all sorts of unsuitable words. Take me with you. Please do.
Enter Pishchik.
Allow me to ask you for a waltz, my dear lady.
Lyubov Andreevna goes with him. Enchanting lady. I really must borrow of you just 180 rubles. Dances. Only 180 rubles. They pass into the larger room. Yasha hums softly. Knowest thou my soul's emotion? In the larger drawing room, a figure in a gray top hat and in check trousers is gesticulating and jumping about. Shouts of, Bravo, Charlotta Ivanovna! Dunyasha. She has stopped to powder herself. My young lady tells me to dance. There are plenty of gentlemen and too few ladies, but dancing makes me giddy and makes my heart beat. Furs, the post office clerk said something to me just now that quite took my breath away. Music becomes more subdued.
Furs. What did he say to you?
Dunyasha.
He said I was like a flower.
Yasha yawns.
What ignorance! Goes out. Like a flower. I am a girl of such delicate feelings. I am awfully fond of soft speeches.
Furs. Your head's being turned.
Enter Epihadolf. You have no desire to see me, Dunyasha. I might be an insect. Ah, life. What is it you want?
Epihadolf.
Undoubtedly, you may be right. But of course, if one looks at it from that point of view, if I may so express myself, you have, excuse my plain speaking, reduced me to a complete state of mind. I know my destiny. Every day some misfortune befalls me, and I have long ago grown accustomed to it, so that I look upon my fate with a smile. You gave me your word, though I... Let us have a talk later, I entreat you, but now leave me in peace, for I am lost in reverie. Plays with her fan. I have a misfortune every day, and if I may venture to express myself, I merely smile at it. I even laugh. Varya enters from the larger drawing room.
You still have not gone, Epihadolf? What a disrespectful creature you are, really!
To Dunyasha.
Go along, Dunyasha. To Epihadolf. First you play billiards and break the cue, then you go wandering about the drawing room like a visitor.
Epihadolf.
You really cannot, if I may so express myself, call me to account like this.
Varya.
I'm not calling you to account. I'm speaking to you. You do nothing but wander from place to place and don't do your work. We keep you as a counting-house clerk, but what use you are I can't say.
Epihadolf. Offended.
Whether I work or whether I walk, whether I eat or whether I play billiards, is a matter to be judged by persons of understanding and my elders.
Varya.
You dare to tell me that? Firing up. You dare? You mean to say I've no understanding? Be gone from here, this minute! Epikhodov, intimidated. I beg you to express yourself with delicacy.
Varya, beside herself with anger. This moment! Get out! Away! He goes towards the door, she following him. 22 misfortunes! Take yourself off! Don't let me set eyes on you! Epikhodov has gone out. Behind the door, his voice. I shall lodge a complaint against you.
What? You're coming back?
Snatches up the stick Furs has put down near the door.
Come! 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 I'll show you!
What? You're coming? Then take that! She swings the stick at the very moment that Lopahin comes in. Lopahin, very much obliged to you. Angrily and ironically.
I beg your pardon. Not at all. I humbly thank you for your kind reception.
No need of thanks for it. Moves away, then looks round and asks softly. I haven't hurt you. Oh, no, not at all. There's an immense bump coming up, though. Voices from larger room.
Lopahin has come! Yuromi Alexeyevich!
Pishchik. What do I see and hear? Kisses Lopahin.
There's whiff of cognac about you, my dear soul, and we're making merry here, too.
Enter Lyubov Andreevna.
Lyubov. Is it you, Yuromi Alexeyevich? Why have you been so long? Where's Leonid?
Lopahin. Leonid Andreevich arrived with me. He is coming.
Lyubov. In agitation.
Well. Was there a sale? Speak.
Lopakhin. Embarrassed. Afraid of betraying his joy. The sale was over at 4 o'clock. We missed our train. Had to wait till 9:30. Sighing heavily. Oh, I feel a little giddy.
Enter Gaev. In his right hand he has purchases. With his left hand he is wiping away his tears.
Well, Lyova, what news?
Impatiently, with tears.
Make haste, for God's sake!
Gaev makes her no answer, simply waves his hand. To fears, weeping.
Here, take them. There's anchovies. Kerch herrings. I have eaten nothing all day. What I have been through.
Door into the billiard room is open. There is heard a knocking of balls and the voice of Yasha saying, 87. Gaev's expression changes. He leaves off weeping. I am fearfully tired. Fears, come and help me change my things. Goes to his own room across the larger drawing room.
Pishchik. How about the sale? Tell us, do. Is the cherry orchard sold?
Lopakhin.
It is sold. Who has bought it? Lopakhin. I have bought it. A pause.
Lyubov is crushed. She would fall down if she were not standing near a chair and table.
Varya takes keys from her waistband, flings them on the floor in middle of the drawing room, and goes out.
Lopahin! I have bought it! Wait a bit, ladies and gentlemen, pray! My head's a bit muddled. I can't speak. We came to the auction. Dariganov was there already. Leonid Andreevich only had 15,000, and Dariganov bid 30,000, besides the arrears, straight off. I saw how the land lay. I bid against him. I bid 40,000. He bid 45,000. I said 55, and so he went on, adding 5,000s and I adding 10. Well, so it ended. I bid 90, and it was knocked down to me. Now the cherry orchard's mine! Mine! My God! The cherry orchard's mine! Tell me that I'm drunk, that I'm out of my mind, that it's all a dream! Stamps with his feet. Don't laugh at me! If my father and my grandfather could rise from their graves and see all that has happened! How their Yermolai, ignorant, beat
beaten Yermolai, who used to run about barefoot in winter. How that very Yermolai has built the finest estate in the world. I have built the estate where my father and grandfather were slaves, where they weren't even admitted into the kitchen. I am asleep. I am dreaming. It is all fancy. It is the work of your imagination plunged in the darkness of ignorance. Picks up keys, smiling fondly.
She threw away the keys. She means to show she's not the housewife now. Jingles the keys. Well, no matter. The orchestra is heard tuning up.
Hey, musicians, play! I want to hear you! Come, all of you, and look how Yermolai Lopahin will take the axe to the cherry orchard, how the trees will fall to the ground. We will build houses on it, and our grandsons and great-grandsons will see a new life springing up there. Music! Play up!
Music begins to play. Lubov Andreevna has sunk into a chair and is weeping bitterly. Lopahin, reproachfully,
Why? Why didn't you listen to me, my poor friend? Dear lady, there's no turning back now.
With tears, Oh, if all this could be over, Oh, if our miserable, disjointed life could somehow soon be changed. Pishtik takes him by the arm in an undertone.
She's weeping. Let us go and leave her alone. Come.
Takes him by the arm and leads him into the larger drawing room.
What's that? Musicians, play up! All must be as I wish it!
With irony. Here comes the new master, the owner of the cherry orchard. Accidentally tips over a little table, almost upsetting the candelabra.
I can pay for everything!
Goes out with Pishchik. No one remains on the stage or in the larger drawing room except Lyubov, who sits huddled up, weeping bitterly. The music plays softly. Anya and Trofimov come in quickly. Anya goes up to her mother and falls on her knees before her. Trofimov stands at the entrance to the larger drawing room.
Mama! Mama, you're crying. Dear, kind, good Mama. My precious! I love you. I bless you. The cherry orchard is sold. It is gone. That's true. That's true. But don't weep, Mama. Life is still before you. You have still your good, pure heart. Let us go. Let us go, darling, away from here. We will make a new garden, more splendid than this one. You will see it. You will understand. And joy, quiet, deep joy, will sink into your soul like the sun at evening. And you will smile, Mama. Come, darling, let us go. Curtain.
Act 4. Scene, same as in first act. There are neither curtains on the windows nor pictures on the walls. Only a little furniture remains, piled up in a corner as if for sale. There is a sense of desolation. Near the outer door and in the background of the scene are packed trunks, traveling bags, etc. On the left, the door is open, and from here the voices of Varya and Anya are audible. Lopahin is standing waiting. Yasha is holding a tray with glasses full of champagne. In front of the stage, Epihodov is tying up a box. In the background, behind the scene, a hum of talk from the peasants who have come to say goodbye. The voice of Gaev. Thanks, brothers. Thanks. Yasha. The peasants have come to say goodbye. In my opinion, Yermolai Alexeyevich, the peasants are good-natured, but they don't know much about things. The hum of talk dies away. Enter across front of stage Lubov Andreevna and Gaev. She is not weeping, but is pale. Her face is quivering. She cannot speak. Gaev. You gave them your purse, Luba. That won't do. That won't do. Lubov. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. Both go out.
Lopahin, in the doorway, calls after them. You will take a glass at parting? Please do.
I didn't think to bring any from the town, and at the station I could only get one bottle. Please, take a glass. A pause. What? You don't care for any? Comes away from the door. If I'd known, I wouldn't have bought it. Well, and I'm not going to drink it.
Yasha carefully sets the tray down on a chair. You have a glass, Yasha, anyway. Yasha. Good luck to the travelers, and luck to those that stay behind. Drinks. This champagne isn't the real thing, I can assure you.
Lopakhin. It cost 8 rubles the bottle.
A pause.
It's devilish cold here.
Yasha. They haven't heated the stove today. It's all the same since we're going.
Laughs. What are you laughing for?
For pleasure.
Though it's October, it's as still and sunny as though it were summer. It's just right for building.
Looks at his watch. Says in doorway. Take note, ladies and gentlemen. The train goes in 47 minutes, so you ought to start for the station in 20 minutes. You must hurry up.
Trofimov comes in from out of doors, wearing a greatcoat.
Trofimov, I think it must be time to start. The horses are ready. The devil only knows what's become of my galoshes. They're lost. In the doorway.
Anya! My galoshes aren't here! I can't find them!
And I'm getting off to Kharkov. I'm going in the same train with you. I'm spending all the winter at Kharkov. I've been wasting all my time gossiping with you and fretting with no work to do. I can't get on without work. I don't know what to do with my hands. They flap about so queerly, as if they didn't belong to me.
Well, we are just going away, and you will take up your profitable labors again.
Do take a glass.
No thanks.
Then you're going to Moscow now?
Yes. I shall see them as far as the town, and tomorrow I shall go on to Moscow.
Yes, I dare say. The professors aren't giving any lectures. They're waiting for your arrival.
That's not your business. How many years have you been at the university?
Do think of something newer than that. That's stale and flat. Hunts for galoshes. You know, we shall most likely never see each other again. So let me give you one piece of advice at parting. Don't wave your arms about. Get out of the habit. And another thing, building villas, reckoning up that the summer visitors will in time become independent farmers, reckoning like that, that's not the thing to do either. After all, I am fond of you. You have fine, delicate fingers like an artist. You have a fine, delicate soul.
Lopakhin embraces him. Goodbye, my dear fellow. Thanks for everything. Let me give you money for the journey, if you need it.
What for? I don't need it.
Why, you haven't got a halfpenny.
Must I have? Thank you. I got some money for a translation. Here it is in my pocket.
Anxiously.
But where can my galoshes be?
From the next room.
Take the nasty things. Flings a pair of galoshes onto the stage.
Why are you so cross, Varya?
But those aren't my galoshes.
Lopakhin, I sowed 3,000 acres with poppies in the spring, and now I have cleared 40,000 profit. And when my poppies were in flower, wasn't it a picture? So here, as I say, I made 40,000, and I'm offering you a loan because I can afford to. Why turn up your nose? I am a peasant. I speak bluntly.
Trofimov. Your father was a peasant. Mine was a chemist, and that proves absolutely nothing whatever.
Lopakhin takes out his pocketbook.
Stop that! Stop that! If you were to offer me 200,000, I wouldn't take it. I am an independent man, and everything that all of you, rich and poor alike, prize so highly and hold so dear, hasn't the slightest power over me. It's like so much fluff fluttering in the air. I can get on without you. I can pass by you. I am strong and proud. Humanity is advancing towards the highest truth, the highest happiness, which is possible on Earth, and I am in the front ranks. Will you get there? I shall get there.
A pause. I shall get there, or I shall show others the way to get there. In the distance is heard the stroke of an axe on a tree.
Goodbye, my dear fellow. It's time to be off. We turn up our noses at one another, but life is passing all the while. When I am working hard without resting, then my mind is more at ease, and it seems to me as though I, too, know what I exist for. But how many people there are in Russia, my dear boy, who exist, one doesn't know what for. Well, it doesn't matter. That's not what keeps things spinning. They tell me Leonid Andreevich has taken a situation. He is going to be a clerk at the bank. 6,000 rubles a year. Only, of course, he won't stick to it. He's too lazy.
Anya, in the doorway.
Mama begs you not to let them chop down the orchard until she's gone.
Yes, really.
You might have the tact.
Walks out across the front of the stage.
I'll see to it. I'll see to it. Stupid fellows.
Goes out after him.
Has Furs been taken to the hospital?
Yasha. I told them this morning. No doubt they have taken him. To Epikhodov, who passes across the drawing room.
Semyon Pantaleevich, inquire, please, if Furs has been taken to the hospital.
Yasha, in a tone of offense. I told Yegor this morning. Why ask a dozen times?
Epikhodov. Furs is advanced in years. It's my conclusive opinion no treatment would do him good. It's time he was gathered to his father's. And I can only envy him. Puts a trunk down on a cardboard hat box and crushes it. There now, of course. I knew it would be so. Yasha, jeeringly. 22 misfortunes. Varya, through the door.
Has Furs been taken to the hospital?
Anya.
Yes. Varya. Why wasn't the note for the doctor taken, too? Oh, then we must send it after them.
Goes out. Varya, from the adjoining room.
Where's Yasha? Tell him his mother's come to say goodbye to him.
Yasha waves his hand. They put me out of all patience. Dunyasha has all this time been busy about the luggage. Now, when Yasha is left alone, she goes up to him. Dunyasha.
You might just give me one look, Yasha. You're going away. You're leaving me.
Weeps and throws herself on his neck.
What are you crying for? Drinks the champagne. In 6 days, I shall be in Paris again. Tomorrow, we shall get into the express train and roll away in a flash. I can scarcely believe it. Vive la France! It doesn't suit me here. It's not the life for me. There's no doing anything. I have seen enough of the ignorance here. I have had enough of it. Drink champagne. What are you crying for? Behave yourself properly, and then you won't cry. Dunyasha powders her face, looking in a pocket mirror.
Do send me a letter from Paris. You know how I loved you, Yasha. How I loved you. I am a tender creature, Yasha.
Here they are coming. Busies himself about the trunks, humming softly. Enter Lyubov Andreevna, Gaev, Anya, and Charlotta Ivanovna. Gaev. We ought to be off. There's not much time now. Looking at Yasha. What a smell of herrings.
Lyubov. In 10 minutes we must get into the carriage.
Casts a look about the room.
Farewell, dear house, dear old home of our fathers. Winter will pass and spring will come, and then you will be no more. They will tear you down. How much those walls have seen.
Kisses her daughter passionately.
My treasure, how bright you look. Your eyes are sparkling like diamonds. Are you glad? Very glad?
Very glad. A new life is beginning, Mama.
Yes, really. Everything is all right now. Before the cherry orchard was sold, we were all worried and wretched.
But afterwards, when once the question was settled conclusively, irrevocably, we all felt calm and even cheerful. I am a bank clerk now. I am a financier. Cannon off the red. And you, Luba, after all, you are looking better. There's no question of that. Yes, my nerves are better, that's true. Her hat and coat are handed to her. I'm sleeping well. Carry out my things, Yasha. It's time. To Anya. My darling, we shall soon see each other again. I'm going to Paris. I can live there on the money your Yaroslavl auntie sent us to buy the estate with. Hurrah for auntie! But that money won't last long. You'll come back soon, Mama, won't you? I'll be working up for my examination in the high school, and when I have passed that, I shall set to work and be a help to you. We will read all sorts of things together, Mama, won't we? Kisses her mother's hands. We will read in the autumn evenings. We'll read lots of books, and a new wonderful world will open out before us. Dreamily. Mama, come soon. I shall come, my precious treasure. Embraces her.
Enter Lopahan. Charlotta softly hums a song. Gaev. Charlotta's happy. She's singing. Charlotta. Picks up a bundle like a swaddled baby. Bye, bye, my baby. A baby is heard crying.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
Hush, hush, my pretty boy.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
Poor little thing. Throws the bundle back.
You must please find me a situation. I can't go on like this.
Lopahan. We'll find you one, Charlotta Ivanovna. Don't you worry yourself. Gaev.
Everyone's leaving us. Varya's going away. We have become of no use all at once.
Charlotta.
There's nowhere for me to be in the town. I must go away.
Hums.
What care I?
Enter Pishchik. Lopahan. The freak of nature. Pishchik. Gasping.
Oh, let me get my breath. I'm worn out. My most honored. Give me some water.
Gaev. Want some money, I suppose? Your humble servant. I'll go out of the way of temptation. Goes out. Pishchik.
It's a long while since I have been to see you, dearest lady.
To Lopahan.
You are here. Glad to see you. A man of immense intellect. Take. Here.
Gives Lopahan money.
400 rubles. That leaves me owing 840.
Lopahan. Shrugging his shoulders in amazement.
It's like a dream. Where did you get it?
Let me get my breath. I'm worn out. My most honored. Give me some water.
Gaev. Want some money, I suppose? Your humble servant. I'll go out of the way of temptation. Goes out. Pishchik.
It's a long while since I have been to see you, dearest lady.
To Lopahan.
You are here. Glad to see you. A man of immense intellect. Take. Here.
Gives Lopahan money.
400 rubles. That leaves me owing 840.
Lopahan. Shrugging his shoulders in amazement.
It's like a dream. Where did you get it?
What?
In agitation.
Why to the town? Oh, I see. The furniture. The boxes. No matter.
Through his tears.
No matter. Men of enormous intellect. These Englishmen. Never mind. Be happy. God will succor you.
No matter.
Everything in this world must have an end.
Kisses Lyubov Andreevna's hand.
If the rumor reaches you that my end has come, think of this old horse and say, there once was such a man in the world, Semyonov Pishchik. The kingdom of heaven be his. Most extraordinary weather.
Yes. Goes out in violent agitation, but at once returns and says in the doorway,
Dashinka wishes to be remembered to you. Goes out. Lyubov. Now we can start. I leave with two cares in my heart. The first is leaving Furse ill. Looking at her watch, we have still 5 minutes.
Anya.
Mama, Furse has been taken to the hospital. Yasha sent him off this morning.
Lyubov. My other anxiety is Varya. She's used to getting up early and working. And now, without work, she's like a fish out of water. She is thin and pale, and she's crying, poor dear. A pause. You are well aware, Yermolai Alexeyevich, I dreamed of marrying her to you, and everything seemed to show that you would get married.
Whispers to Anya and motions to Charlotta, and both go out.
She loves you. She suits you. And I don't know. I don't know why it is you seem, as it were, to avoid each other. I can't understand it.
Lopakhin. I don't understand it myself, I confess. It's queer somehow, altogether. If there's still time, I'm ready now, at once. Let's settle it straight off and go ahead. But without you, I feel I shan't make her an offer.
Lyubov. That's excellent. Why, a single moment's all that's necessary. I'll call her at once.
And there's champagne already, too. Looking into the glasses. Empty. Someone's emptied them already.
Yasha coughs.
I call that greedy.
Lyubov. Eagerly. Capital. We will go out. Yasha, Ale. I'll call her in. At the door. Varya, leave all that. Come here. Come along. Goes out with Yasha.
Lopakhin. Looking at his watch. Yes.
A pause. Behind the door, smothered laughter and whispering, and at last, enter Varya. Varya, looking a long while over the things.
It is strange. I can't find it anywhere.
Lopakhin. What are you looking for?
Varya. I packed it myself and I can't remember.
A pause. Lopakhin. Where are you going now, Varvara Mihailovna?
I?
To the Ragulins. I have arranged to go to them to look after the house, as a housekeeper.
That's in Yashnovo?
It'll be 70 miles away.
A pause.
So this is the end of life in this house.
Varya, looking among the things.
Where is it? Perhaps I put it in the trunk.
Yes. Life in this house is over. There will be no more of it.
And I'm just off to Kharkov, by this next train. I've a lot of business there. I'm leaving Ippihodov here, and I've taken him on.
Really?
This time last year we had snow already, if you remember. But now it's so fine and sunny. Though it's cold, to be sure. 3 degrees of frost. I haven't looked.
A pause. And besides, our thermometer's broken.
A pause. Voice at the door from the yard. Yermolai Alexeyevich!
Lopakhin, as though he had long been expecting the summons.
This minute.
Lopakhin goes out quickly. Varya, sitting on the floor and laying her head on a bag full of clothes, sobs quietly. The door opens. Lyubov Andreevna comes in cautiously.
Well?
A pause. We must be going.
Varya has wiped her eyes and is no longer crying.
Yes, Mama, it's time to start. I shall have time to get to the Ragulins today, if only you're not late for the train.
Lyubov, in the doorway.
Anya, put your things on.
Enter Anya,
then Gaev and Charlotta Ivanovna. Gaev has on a warm coat with a hood. Servants and cabmen come in. Epiodov bustles about the luggage. Now we can start on our travels. Anya, joyfully. On our travels! Gaev. My friends. My dear, my precious friends. Leaving this house forever. Can I be silent? Can I refrain from giving utterance at leave-taking to those emotions which now flood all my being? Anya, supplicatingly. Uncle. Varya. Uncle, you mustn't. Dejectedly. Cannon and into the pocket. I'll be quiet. Enter Trofimov, and afterwards Lopahin. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we must start. Lopahin. Epiodov, my coat!
I'll stay just 1 minute. It seems as though I have never seen before what the walls, what the ceilings in this house were like. And now I look at them with greediness, with such tender love.
I remember when I was 6 years old, sitting in that window on Trinity Day, watching my father going to church.
Have all the things been taken?
I think all. Putting on overcoat to Epikadov. You, Epikadov, mind you see everything is right. Epikadov, in a husky voice. Don't you trouble, Yermolai Alexeyevich.
Why, what's wrong with your voice?
I've just had a drink of water and I choked over something. Yasha, contemptuously. The ignorance.
We are going, and not a soul will be left here.
Not till the spring. Varya pulls a parasol out of a bundle as though about to hit someone with it. Lopikin makes a gesture as though alarmed.
What is it? I didn't mean anything.
Trofimov. Ladies and gentlemen, let us get into the carriage. It's time. The train will be in directly.
Varya. Petya. Here they are. Your galoshes, by that box, with tears. And what dirty old things they are.
Trofimov, putting on his galoshes. Let us go, friends.
Gaev, greatly agitated, afraid of weeping.
The train! The station! Double bulk! Oh!
Lubov,
let us go.
Lopahin.
Are we all here?
Locks the side door on left.
The things are all here. We must lock up. Let us go.
Anya.
Goodbye, home. Goodbye to the old life.
Trofimov.
Welcome to the new life.
Trofimov goes out with Anya. Varya looks round the room and goes out slowly. Yasha and Charlotta Ivanovna with her dog go out.
Lopahin. Till the spring, then. Come, friends, till we meet.
Goes out. Lyubov Andreevna and Gaev remain alone. As though they had been waiting for this, they throw themselves on each other's necks and break into subdued, smothered sobbing, afraid of being overheard. Gaev, in despair.
Sister! My sister! Oh, my orchard! My sweet, beautiful orchard! My life! My youth! My happiness! Goodbye! Goodbye!
Voice of Anya, calling gaily.
Mama!
Voice of Trofimov, gaily, excitedly.
Oh!
Lubov. We are coming. They go out.
The stage is empty. There is the sound of the doors being locked up, then of the carriages driving away. There is silence. In the stillness, there is the dull stroke of an axe in a tree, clanging with a mournful, lonely sound. Footsteps are heard. Fears appears in the doorway on the right. He is dressed as always, in a pea jacket and white waistcoat, with slippers on his feet. He is ill. Goes up to the doors and tries the handles. Locked. They have gone.
sits down on sofa. They have forgotten me. Never mind. I'll sit here a bit. I'll be bound Leonid Andreyevich hasn't put his fur coat on and has gone off in his thin overcoat. Sighs anxiously. I didn't see after him. These young people. Mutters something that can't be distinguished. Life has slipped by as though I hadn't lived. Lies down. I'll lie down a bit. There's no strength in you. Nothing left you. All gone. Heck, I'm good for nothing. Lies motionless. A sound is heard that seems to come from the sky, like a breaking harp string, dying away mournfully. All is still again, and there is heard nothing but the strokes of the axe far away in the orchard. Curtain.